Amen. Well, good morning. Greet each of you in Jesus' name. I just want to start with saying it's really good to be here this weekend with all of you, reconnecting again after being gone for a few months. And just appreciated your just warm welcome to me and my wife. And hopefully we'll be back soon, probably in a couple months here. So on June 22 in 1969, somebody in Cleveland, Ohio, called 911 to report a fire. This fire was kind of unique. Several months ago, my parents-in-law, they got home late at night. I think it was about 10 o'clock, and they looked out their window, and their neighbor's barn was on fire. It was completely engulfed in flames. And by the time they got out there, I think pretty soon the fire department had got there, but it was too late. Their barn burnt down. They lost a bunch of their horses. And for Amish people, that's pretty important to have those. It's pretty devastating for them. But in 1969, this was not a call to 911 to report a barn on fire. Sometimes we've heard stories of houses, maybe somebody's house getting, starting on fire. One of the deacons back at Living Hope told a story recently. I don't know very many details, but he was involved in a house fire when he was really young. But in 1969, this was not a house fire. Somebody had called to report a fire, but it wasn't a barn on fire, it wasn't a house on fire. Here in 2020, we've seen some huge wildfires. We've seen the smoke here in the valley. They were just up here in the mountains, not very far from actually this location. But in 1969, this was not a call to report a wildfire or a brush fire or anything like that. The call was reporting that a river was on fire. Now, that seems kind of weird. Why should a river be on fire? Rivers shouldn't be on fire. It was the Cuyahoga River. It flows right through downtown Cleveland, Ohio. Now, just to clarify, this was not a boat on the river. This was not a bridge over the river. The river itself had caught fire. Now, I'll talk about rivers a little bit. Rivers are supposed to be, and are, the life giving source for a city or for a civilization. If we look way back in history, look at the Egyptian civilization. It was based along the Nile River. The Nile River provided them with water, provided them to irrigate their crops, provided them drinking water, provided them a source of transportation to move big, heavy objects. It provided them all kinds of things. It was the reason the Egyptian civilization was there and not any other place was because of the river. Think about the Babylonian civilization along the Euphrates River, the same way. Even locally, think about it here in this valley. Eugene, what do Eugene, Corvallis, Albany, Salem, and Portland all have in common? They're all along the Willamette River. There's a reason for that. Rivers give life. Rivers produce life. The people in Cleveland, Ohio, back in the 60s and the prior years, the prior decades, had neglected their river. They had abused their river. They had polluted their river. They had dumped oil, sewage, waste, trash into their river. They didn't take care of their river. And their river died. There was actually a study done on this river around this time. And the study said this: the lower Cuyahoga has no visible signs of life, not even low forms like leeches and sludge worms that usually thrive on waste. The river was totally dead. And on June 22nd, 1969, it caught fire. And they actually had to get the fire department out there. They had to get firefighting ships on the river. And they had to spray out this fire because the river itself had caught fire. This is actually not the first time it happened. It actually happened several times. And some of them were really bad. They actually burnt like millions of dollars of real estate and stuff, you know, equipment alongside of this river. And turn with me to Ephesians 6, if you have your Bibles. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. That's what I want to talk about this morning. These verses here are very familiar, probably to all of us. Typically, they're talked about in a children's lesson, but I'm going to talk about them in a little bit broader sense here. Now, Paul didn't come up with this when he wrote the letter to the Ephesians. He was quoting an Old Testament commandment. It was actually the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments. And think about what the Ten Commandments were. They were a law given by God to the people of Israel that were coming out of Egypt. The Israelites were coming out of a land of slavery. They're going to their promised land. And God gave them a set of laws. He gave them a covenant, a relationship with them. And he wanted them to follow these commandments because they would do well if they did follow these commandments. And this particular commandment, the fifth commandment, as Paul says here, it was the first commandment that had a promise attached to it. And the promise said two things. It said, first of all, that they would survive. It says that they would live long in the land. Them and their children and their children and their children would survive in the land for a long time if they followed this fifth commandment to honor their father and their mother. It also says that they would thrive. Not only would they survive, it says it would be well with you. They would do well if they followed this commandment. And I think God was saying the opposite is also true. If they didn't honor their father and mother, they would not survive very long and they would not thrive. This was important. Now, fast forward to today. Our culture here in America has decided that this particular commandment is not very important. For the last probably half a century or more, there's been lots of common slogans and sayings like this. Question authority. Figure it out for yourself. Or even Nike's tagline, just do it. The sense of we don't need to worry about what our parents think about anything. We don't need to honor our parents. We'll just do it ourselves. There's actually a common slogan. I think this might have been promoted by a rock group or some kind of music group. I'm not sure. But there was a common slogan that said, don't trust anyone over 30. You understand that, like the ideas that carries with it. Recently, or actually not recently, a while ago, there was a middle-aged gentleman that I did a lot of work with, a coworker, and he would occasionally talk about his dad, who was getting fairly elderly at this point, and he usually didn't have very many good things to say about him. This person is not a believer. But he would say things like, one time he told me a story, he said his dad had a couple guns that he really wanted. And he begged his dad to sell it to him or something, and his dad said no, he would not sell it to him. So he told his dad, well, you know what, when you die, I'll get them for free. That's the idea that I think our culture has about the elderly, about our parents, about the older generation. They're good as long as we can get our inheritance, and that's about it. Now, here's another question. What part of the world do you think, if you ask most people, or if you ask even yourself, what part of the world do you think people honor their parents most? Or say it a different way, what country do you think children honor their parents the best? I don't know what your answers would be, but I don't think it'd be America. If you ask most people, they'd probably say maybe Asian countries like China or Japan. Maybe African countries, but not America. And that's sad because America is known as a Christian nation. And yet here we are known for, if anything, dishonor of our elders and of our parents. I was talking with Jason Kaufman. He's one of the missionaries in Zanzibar, which is in East Africa. And I said, what could we learn from the people there? Sure, they have lots of issues. They're there to reach them with the gospel. But is there anything that our culture could learn from theirs? And this was one of the things he said. He said they have a respect for their elders. They have an honor of their parents that we do not have here. And it's sad, like I said, that our Christian nation is known for that. Now, what about us? Does this lack of honor for our parents in our culture around us, does it influence the church? Does it influence us? That's a, I guess, a question you can answer for yourself. Now, I have a question. I'm not going to do a raise of hands, but just think about it. How many of you here have parents or have a parent that's still alive? I think probably nearly all of us. Maybe there might be a few that's not the case. Actually, I think there is a few that's not the case. But for most of us here, we have parents. We might not be children anymore or a young child, but we all have parents. So this applies to all of us. This is not just something for a particular group of people. This commandment is broad, encompasses nearly all of us. Now, I want to answer two questions this morning. Number one, why should we honor our parents? And number two, how do we honor our parents? Now, I have 3 points for each of these. So it's, I don't know how long this is going to take. It's probably not going to be very long, but I just want to answer those two questions. Why should we honor our parents? And how do we honor our parents? I want to give credit where credit is due, too. Some of these thoughts are from a sermon by David Berceau called 5 Ways to Honor Your Parents. I don't know if any of these are like direct from him, but definitely some of my ideas came from him. And that's, so if you've heard that sermon, you might recognize a little bit. And also, I'd recommend his sermon. It was really good. Okay, so first of all, why should we honor our parents? I have 3 points on this. First of all, God commanded it. It's as simple as that. God commanded it. And he doesn't like excuses. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat?" So the Pharisees are coming to Jesus and they are asking him why he doesn't follow their tradition. And he answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" So he was saying, Pharisees, you are trying to say that you follow the commandment of God, but in what you're actually doing is creating an excuse so you don't have to follow God's commandment. And the example he gave of this was honoring their parents. What they were doing was saying, instead of obeying this commandment to honor their parents, and in this specific instance, it's talking about giving your parents, I think, physical, probably money or some kind of physical aid. And instead of doing that, they're saying, well, we'll give it to the temple. We'll give it to a spiritual cause and leave their parents high and dry. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but this is interesting. And this is the example Jesus gave and said, you're hypocrites. You're not actually doing what God wants you to do. And you make it sound really spiritual, but you're not obeying God. This was obviously important enough to Jesus to bring this up. Honoring our parents pleases God. This is not just about pleasing our parents. It's actually God's commandment. God wants us to do this. Now, here's an interesting thought. Honoring our parents is one of the Ten Commandments, like I mentioned earlier. It's the fifth commandment. Being a good parent is not one of the Ten Commandments. I'm not saying being a good parent is not. I think God wants us to be a good parent. But think about it. If you go into most Christian bookstores, there are probably lots and lots of books on how to be a good parent, how to be a good father, how to be a good mother, you know, raising a son, raising a daughter. You can go on and on. There's loads of books on that subject. Very few books on honoring your parents. And yet, which one does God find more important? I don't know. It's an interesting question. Maybe we've got our focus skewed a little bit here. I think that we just haven't thought enough about what it means to honor our parents and how important it is to God. So number one, why do we honor our parents? Because God commanded it. It's as simple as that. Number two, our parents are our elders. So our parents are not only our parents, they're also older than we are. They are our elders. And let me just read this verse in 1 Peter 5:5. It says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." There's other verses similar to this as well, if you read through the New Testament. We are to honor the ones that are older than us. It's as simple as that, because of their position. And I think that God made us social beings. He created us with a social hierarchy that forms. And I think that's God desires that. He doesn't want us to exist outside of that. And part of that is respect and honor of the ones that are older than us, the elders in our community. And for many of us, our parents are the elder, especially for us young ones. Our parents are the elders that we interact with quite a bit, and we'll probably interact with at least somewhat throughout our lives. Maybe not as much as we get older, but our parents are elders that we interact with, and we should give them honor because of that. We should also give other people's parents honor as well for the same reason. They are elders, and we should respect them. There was, when I was in Iraq, there was a time when there was an event happening some distance away from the village that I was in. It was in another village. This other village was full of, it was where all like the elite, kind of the politicians' families, the high government officials, the military officials lived. So it was a very kind of elite part of Iraq. And there was an English school there. It was nothing to do with an outreach or a religious organization. It was just a local guy had decided to start an English school here to teach these wealthy families' children how to speak English. And the schoolmaster, the head guy of the school, also happened to be a friend of ours. He was one of the kind of our lawyer that helped us do the paperwork to be in the country. So we felt a little bit loyal to him, like we should kind of do him a favor once in a while because he was doing us favors once in a while. And he wanted us to come out to the graduation of his English school to just be there, take pictures with some of the graduates. And it was more kind of a status thing for him. He could kind of like puff out his chest a little bit because he has American friends and they can come and be a part of this. And anyways, so we decide, well, this isn't really why we're there or typically what we do, but we decide to go to keep that relationship with him and maintain that relationship. When I was there, it was actually the second time. So a year before they had done the same thing. And the year before, it was basically, there was, I don't know, a dozen people there at the base at that time. And they just decided, like, who wants to go? Let's take three or four or five people. I don't remember who it was, how many it was. And so a handful of people went, including most of us there on the base were young people, like within, you know, low 20s. But there was one older man. He was in his, I want to say, 70s. He was an older man. He had a big white beard. And he had been there for quite some time. He was a widowed man. His wife had died sometime before. I think we gave him a decent amount of honor and respect, but, you know, he was just an older guy on our team, and sometimes maybe not, I don't know how we all felt about him. Sometimes his ideas were a little different than ours on some things. And anyways, but it was interesting how these people viewed him, because he had went along the first year, and then the year that I went, the year that I was there, the schoolmaster said, make sure you bring the older man. And I thought that was really interesting. We got there and they took us all out to this like really expensive restaurant. It was, I don't know, like $40 a plate or something, which is like crazy in Iraq, and ate fish and I'm not sure what it all was, but they gave him the prime seat. He sat right across from, I think it was the president of Kurdistan's son. So like a very high ranking official. And they wanted to hear what he had to say about life in general. And That's just so different than our culture typically works. The young people don't want to talk to this old person that is kind of stuck in his ways and whatever. You know, they want to associate with maybe a young, charismatic type of individual. Is that how it should be? Should we have that that respect of our elders and that desire or that desire to learn from them? I don't want to get into my next. I don't want to get into the how yet. So again, why should we honor our parents? God commanded it. Number two, our parents are our elders. Number three, our parents are a source of wisdom. Proverbs 1, 8 through 10 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Proverbs 23, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Again, not talking about just when you're young. When she is old, that applies throughout life. If your mother is an old person, you're probably not a child. Okay, so I just want to clarify, like, this is not talking about just children. This is talking about, this applies to all of us. Job 12:12, "Wisdom is with the aged and understanding in length of days." Our parents and our elders have wisdom that they've gained through life. And if we would do well to take heed to their wisdom, to be studious in learning from them. Honoring our parents allows us to receive the wisdom that they have. If we dishonor them, we're going to cut off that source of wisdom that we have before us. Now, before I get into, so again, I just want to sum up the three points. Why should we honor our parents? God commanded it. Our parents are our elders, and our parents are a source of wisdom. Now, before I talk about the how do we honor our parents, I want to answer one other question, or at least talk about one question. I don't feel like I have a great answer for this, and so maybe you guys will have some more comments after this, after I'm finished. But what if our parents don't act honorably? I think all us young ones here have parents that do act very honorably. But what if we don't have that? I know there's people here that are in that situation, and I know there's lots of people outside of these four walls that have that situation. Their parents are not God-fearing, or their parents have some major shortcomings. Maybe they're not even in their life very much at all. Well, I'd say a couple things. First of all, the first two things that I said still apply. God still commanded us to honor our parents. He didn't say only honor them if they are honorable. The second one also applies. They're still our elders. There still should be a respect because of their position, because of their age. And I think the third one applies too. It's really easy to, because of maybe mistakes or serious reasons, we write off our parents as not having any wisdom. And I think that there's something we can learn from our parents, even if we see things very differently than them, even if they've made very poor choices throughout life, or whatever it may, whatever the case may be. For some of us, one or both of our parents are no longer in our life for one reason or another. We can still show respect to them and honor by the way we speak of them. How do we speak of our parents? Do we speak of them negatively? Do we speak of them critically? Or do we speak of them in respect and honor? For some of us, our parents have asked us to do things that go against Christ's commands. That happens. In fact, Jesus said that would happen. Now, first of all, our loyalty must be to Christ first, must be to Christ above all else. And sometimes that does mean doing things that our parents don't approve of. Like I said, Jesus said this will happen. He said there will probably be family conflicts because of his teachings. But let's also not use this as an excuse. I think so often I see people that use "I'm serving God," just like the Pharisees did, "I'm serving God" as an excuse to be dishonorable to their parents. Let's not do that. Let's be careful of that. So I don't know if I answered that question very well. I think there's a lot to dive in there, and I'm still like, I guess, pondering that one. How do we honor our parents, especially when our parents make it really hard to honor them? Okay, but I'm going to move on to the second question. How do we honor our parents? We talked about the why. Now, how? Again, I have 3 points here. I'll go through them one by one. The first one, show respect. Showing respect is a key way to honor our parents. Leviticus 19:32. This is in the Old Covenant. This is in the law. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. It's a commandment from God to show respect to the elders and to the parents. Here are a few different ways we can show respect. I've got 4 different ways here to show respect. Now, the first one is obey them. We read this in Ephesians 6. Obey your parents. Now, I think this is the one that does especially apply to when you're living under your parents' roof, when you're young, when you're a child. I think that this can carry over when you get older, but this is especially important for all of you children. Obey your parents. That's how you can show them respect. Do it. Be diligent. Do it right away. Don't obey them half-heartedly and maybe delay as long as you can get away with it. That's not obedience. Obey diligently. That's how we can show respect. That's how we can show honor. Number 2, be courteous of them. I think we've lost this in our culture, majorly. I want to read a quote by a Jewish rabbi. Okay, so this is somebody that's not part of our religion even. Somebody that's very different. But he's talking about honor. They have the same old covenant that we have in the Old Testament in our Bible. And this is what his thoughts were on honoring and specifically being practical about it. Many of the practices I'm about to mention should be obvious and natural. But unfortunately, we live in a generation when people do not show proper respect to their parents nor to the elderly. It is therefore necessary to reiterate even self-evident guidelines in showing respect to parents. To begin with, we show respect and honor by not interrupting our parents or by sitting in their seats. According to Jewish law, one is required to stand when one father or mother enters the room as an expression of honor. One must also give honor to parents when entering or exiting a room with them. As such, one should allow the father or mother to enter the room first. Our sages note that when Moses met his father-in-law, he bowed down to him. So too, we find King David called his father-in-law, King Saul, my father. One must honor his or her parents even after their deaths. For example, when mentioning parents after their deaths, one should add, may his or her memory be a blessing. One who is disrespectful of his or her parents, such as being gruff with them or speaking harshly, is cursed by God, as it is said, cursed is he who dishonors his father or his mother. It's taken out of Deuteronomy 27. It's an interesting quote. We've lost so many of these practical ways. I'm not necessarily advocating that we need to return to any of these specific practices, like walking in the door after your parents. But maybe it's a good idea. Maybe these little practical things show respect and allow it's a practical way to show an inward feeling of respect. And often those practical things will cultivate a respect that wouldn't be there if we don't practice them. Something to think about. Number 3, how do we show respect? Live with their values and principles throughout life. Most of our parents here have endeavored to give us some kind of set of values, principles that they believe were important and they think that we should follow as well. Now again, like I mentioned, sometimes we do things differently than our parents. In fact, I should say probably always we choose to do something different than our parents. But are we endeavoring to look at the good in what they taught us and follow that? I think you could probably, all of us could find something. What is it? Maybe they helped teach you how to handle money, or they taught you how to tie your shoes. Are we thankful for that? Those are very practical things, but there's also like more abstract values that they taught us. And so often we don't think about those things. Our parents have taught us something. Let's endeavor to let's endeavor to not just brush those off and just change course completely in life. One older man at Living Hope I was talking with recently, he had a really good thought. He said what he tells his children, he's had quite a few children, and I think all of them are out of the home now. And he said, he doesn't necessarily tell them, do everything just like I taught you, because it's a little bit unrealistic. I think every child that grows up probably picks a little bit different path on one thing or another. But he said, don't overreact. Don't move the needle a whole bunch, just maybe a little bit. I think that's a good thought. Let's not choose to overreact to the principles and the values that our parents gave us. Sure, there might be some things we see differently. Sure, we might see some mistakes in our parents, and we choose to maybe even improve on certain things. But let's not overreact and just move the needle a whole bunch. We can also ask for their advice as we go through life. Even if we maybe don't always follow their advice, we can ask for it. We can explain to them when we do something differently, in a humble manner. Okay, these are ways we can show respect and not just write off what they view as important entirely. Another way that we can show respect is to seek to make friends with them, both our parents and other elders in our communities. Seek to make friends with them. I think that our church here actually does quite well at this, but there's always room for improvement. And it's a common thing to in a community where all of a sudden the older people are just talking with the older people and the young people are over here doing their own thing. That's not healthy. I think that not that you can't enjoy hanging out with your own peers, your own age group, but there should be some cross age conversations and relationships. And that takes energy. It takes energy to build those relationships. And when you have those relationships, you can then gain that wisdom from the elders and your parents. Seek to make friends with them. Me and my wife were talking about this recently. And like the question is like, well, if there's not relationships, who's responsible to make those relationships happen? And I think it's partly on both the older people to make friends with the young people and vice versa. But I think that part of the responsibility is on us young people to seek out older people, to build relationships with them, and so we have that source of wisdom in our lives. And that we're following God's command. Because I think it's a way to show respect. So how do we honor our parents? Number one, show respect. Number two, be grateful. Our parents have done so much for us, and it's really easy to forget and to take it for granted. All of our parents, regardless of the choices they've made in life, whether they've followed God or not, all of our parents have given us life. They've given us an opportunity to live, to have a relationship with God, an opportunity to have eternal life with Jesus. That's a gift, and we should be grateful for that. Most of our parents, probably all of our parents, have provided for us physically. And both our mother and our father, I know many of our women in our church culture here don't work, but they're still providing in very, very many ways. Do we thank them? Are we grateful for that? They've taught us, I mentioned this before, they've taught us practical skills. You can probably all think of practical skills that they've taught us. Many of them are, we probably also have many memories of campouts like this or camping trips or trips to the zoo or whatever it may be. You probably all have memories of doing things with your parents. Those are good memories. Those are a gift. Are we grateful for them? Being grateful is a way of honoring our parents. And most of our parents here have taught us the way of truth. They've sought to guide us towards God. And there are many other ways we could probably think of to be grateful, things to be grateful for. So how do we honor our parents? We show them respect and we be grateful. And then the last one is physically provide for them. Now this is something that has been almost completely lost in our culture. Today we think our parents should provide for themselves. They can save up retirement, they can be all set up by the time they get old. And the children, certainly, I mean, don't need to be worrying about their parents. But historically, and I think biblically, that's not the way it worked. And that's not, I think there's included in, and I actually heard this somewhere, and I'm not going to say this, I didn't actually verify this, I don't know. But there's an aspect of the word honor in Greek or Hebrew, I'm not sure which, that that has a sense of providing for them physically. Now, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 5. Turn with me there if you have your Bibles. This is really interesting. And I got the long chapter here, so let me see if I can find this. Just give me a second. I got the wrong reference, and I want to find it because I want to read this. Okay, I think it's 1 Timothy 5, not 1 Corinthians 5. Sorry, 1 Timothy 5. Here we go. Okay, so how many of you are familiar with the verse, but if anyone does not provide for his own family, he is worse than an unbeliever? Have you all heard that verse before? Now, typically the context that that's, we hear that, it's talking about, usually people talk about it in the context of like, fathers need to work hard and provide for their family. If they don't, they're worse than an unbeliever. I'm not saying that doesn't apply here or that's not true, but that's not really the context of this. Let's read this. So 1 Timothy 5, starting in verse 3. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his, and my translation says relatives, if you have King James, I think it says family, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband and having a reputation of good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So anyways, I'm going to stop there. Paul is talking about instructions to the church, through Timothy, on how to care for widows in the community. And he has these different guidelines. Some widows should be cared for, some of them should go back to their families and so forth, and there's different qualifications and all of this. But in the middle of that is that verse that we talked about. What is it saying? We should care for the widows, especially the ones that are family. We should care for our elders, our parents. And yet so often we've completely forgot that. So that's actually as far as I'm going to go with that. But I think it's something really interesting to think about. I think one very important way to show respect to our parents is by physically providing for them. And I don't know what that all means in our day and our culture, because monetarily, you know, like I said, there's all these different solutions. We have Social Security and all this stuff going on now. So I don't know what that means, but I think that there is an aspect of doing physical things for our parents. David Brousseau, I'm just going to throw this in, this is not my notes, but David Brousseau tells a story from a book that was written like hundreds of years ago in China. It's an old ancient book in China. It's called The 12 Paragons of Filial Piety, I think. And I think it details 24 stories of of children honoring their parents. And they all have to do with these practical things. And it's kind of one of those books that, like, you read and you go, like, oh, I understand a little bit more of that value of Chinese culture. It's like this, like, kind of image into Chinese culture. And so, anyways, I just bring that up. It's very interesting. If you listen to his sermon, he tells the whole story. But this boy, like, works super hard. His parents are, like, I think a little bit elderly and aren't. I think they're maybe crippled or something. I can't remember. I think they were physically, there's some ailments there. And they, and this boy, he like foraged for like plants and edible plants that he could find. And he would work super hard early to late at night to get enough food for his parents. And after he would stock up enough food after working really hard for a few weeks, he'd have enough food to last them for a few weeks. And then he would walk 100 miles barefoot over the mountains to a bigger city, work hard there, use his money to buy some better food, some rice and grain and different things, carry it on his back all the way home. That would feed his parents for the next few weeks while he would gather more local plants and things that they could eat. And then he would repeat the same process. And the story goes on. Eventually his parents passed away, and then he somehow became the emperor, like, heard about him and bestowed on him a bunch of wealth. And anyways, and then when he was old, he said, I enjoyed being out there helping my parents more than living in this luxurious mansion that he was in later in life. Anyways, it's an interesting story. So, how do we honor our parents? Show respect, be grateful, and physically provide for them. So, in closing, think back on that river, the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland, Ohio. They neglected their life-giving source in their city. They neglected it, and they abused it and lost something major in their city. Now, they eventually got it back thanks to a whole turn of history that's kind of interesting. But they abused their life-giving source, or their source of life-giving water in their city. We have a life-giving source in our midst. It's our parents. It's our elders. God said if we take care, if we honor it, we will survive and we will thrive. Are we doing that? Are we taking care of that river? Or are we neglecting to honor it? So let's be encouraged to take care and honor our parents and our elders and show respect to them. I think it's very important to God. Thank you. That's all I have.